CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. Sure, I'm glad it rained a little bit last night. It's impossible. Yes, I wouldn't have got to sleep if it was so hot. Anyway, so before we even get cracking this morning, it's probably necessary to point out that Gord is not here, and Sia's going to give us some background on that quickly. So, you spoke to him yesterday?
Well, he emailed me this time around.
Yeah, what did he say?
Because there's always some greatness going on in Gord's life. And the email simply starts with, it was delayed.
Oh, God. Yeah.
By a couple of days.
Because now he used to send you voice notes.
Yes.
All right.
So he says, hey, Sia. Sorry, switching to my Gmail as my regular mail is giving me issues. Sorry for the delayed reply. I was going to voice note you on this yesterday, but I know you tend to flip and play those on air when I do. And he had that in capital letters. Why I had to scream.
So instead of playing your voice note on air, we'll just read your email. But the whole thing is too boring to go
It went
through.
On for six paragraphs to explain why he can't come in anymore. And then it ends it off with, love you the most ever in the world.
I'll tell you what's interesting is that this has created a nice variety of people on Wednesdays for the last little bit. We've had Michael Flax in, we've had Jonathan Witt in, we've had Damon Calvari in, people like this. So this morning, you're very lucky because we have a repeat offender and someone who is definitely a returning champion in some ways. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, it's Damon Calvari.
I could have been a contender.
How's it, Damon? How are you?
I am a contender. Well, I am a contender then.
Okay.
No, it's lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Gord, for not being here.
Is that part of your acceptance speech?
Last time we spoke, we did say we would like to see you every now and then, and whenever we can make it work calendar-wise. And look, here we are.
No, wonderful. Thank you. I see there's a new face here that I'd never met before.
Bulelo, he only started with us as our intern last week already. And he's working. We've cracking the whip.
I hope are they covering your petrol at least?
Not even.
Sustenance?
He actually lives so close he could walk here, and he is a runner.
So he runs here, actually.
Okay. Very good.
Are you impressed by his physical
abilities? No, because at one time you had an intern living on the premises. Off the building, in a little hut.
Well, so...
We've had so many interns, Gareth. I'm surprised you remember this because I don't even.
This is worth asking Bulelo to explain because it might be helpful to people who complain that their transport costs are too high and they can't get to where they're going. And he's got a very interesting solution to this.
It is ridiculous on planet Earth in 2019, if you're middle class, to live further than walking distance from your work because your life is centered around your work. You work to get money. So just live close to where you work because that's where you need to go most of the time. It's madness. And then people want to complain about traffic. I never want to hear anybody in middle class complain.
Because you will save on the fuel costs and the transport costs and put that into your rent and still have some left over as opposed to having a lower rental and paying more for transport. Because transport's going up all the time, right?
And the value is time. So I don't want to hear, oh, I'm saving $3,000, but... And then you're spending an hour and a half in traffic, you clown.
Oof. God. I was angry this morning.
I am angry. I'm fired up.
Woke up on the wrong side of the cage.
Damon, you see what you do to me?
Sure.
That's very passionate.
So here he is. He lives down the road. He's walking to work some days. Occasionally, when there's rain, what do you do?
Uber.
Oh, okay.
So you don't own a vehicle?
I do not. Okay. No carbon footprint.
Can respect that.
And what is the furthest you would need to go?
In real life? To go and socialize?
What are you doing that you need to travel a little bit further than that, maybe? Then you Uber?
Yeah.
Nothing that's out of town, for example.
No, I'm not that guy. I mean, if I need to go to the mountains, you catch a flight to Durban and you're 2 hours away, you rent a car.
Right.
Okay, what happens on the dating scenario? Because it's become acceptable now if you go on a date if you don't have a car. Like 20 years ago, the date would say, oh, this guy's a bit suspect. He's a bit of a Rachmanis loser. But nowadays, am I correct in saying you arrive on a date and you tell your date, Uber Joe, it's acceptable, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not in the dating game, but...
Well, could happen any day.
No. Me and dating, though, yeah. I'm not in that game. So I don't like to answer hypothetical questions.
You don't do dating ever?
No, you don't date? No.
Really?
You just get regular action.
Just get a shuckle once in a while.
I don't like to commodify people like that.
Wow. He's got rules, huh? You
know, wait, this is something new.
Let's get into it.
You don't want to comply to the norms of society. You just do your own thing.
Yeah.
You just walk.
We're all
work,
just people trying
date.
To get along, you know?
Okay.
Wait, this is all great and philosophical. What does it mean? You just don't want a person with you. You don't want a relationship. You don't want any relations with a human being.
Not right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm evolving as a person, Damon. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
So no partners at the moment.
You know, it's interesting.
Interesting.
This is the only time in human existence where people have been able to do things like this, make their own rules.
Well, there he is.
I know. He's sitting here like a freak of nature.
Dude.
No, he thinks...
The fact is, before... If you'd spoken like this in our parents' generation or grandparents,
you would have locked you up.
They would
have
put you in
a
sanitarium, you know? Yeah. No, this person's insane.
Thrown away the key. You would have maybe seen a little window with bars.
Speaking about throwing away the key, how's your wife?
Oh, what a segue!
No.
You know, I think she's insane.
Look. I mean, she's a vampire. She works through the night. So when I left at 5:30 this morning, she was just about to go to bed.
Yeah.
So she works strange hours.
So does she sleep during the day or?
Yes, but only until like midday or 11:30, and then she's up and about. She often just goes about with 4 hours sleep.
Yeah, you see, that's what I got away with four hours.
She's a machine. She sent a message to the class WhatsApp group at 2:00 this morning. They must think what the hell's going on.
What class WhatsApp group?
You know what, when you got a child at school,
there's
WhatsApp groups.
Okay.
This is an offshoot WhatsApp group for a little thing. She's making photo books for the class. You know, end of the year photo books for the class. So this is
you did mention that's a business of yours.
So we're doing that. So this is an offshoot. And any ideas to illustrate the book at 2:00 in the morning?
Wow.
2:00 in the morning.
No, she's, as I said, totally insane.
Well, I mean, totally insane, that's a very strong term.
I think she...
Maybe it just works for her.
Gareth, you don't know totally insane.
Tell me more. It sounds like you have a story.
Well, have you ever had a relative or a friend with a serious psychiatric disorder?
No.
Okay, remember Charlize Theron in that the monster?
The devil
with Al Pacino.
Yes.
You know when she goes a bit mashug?
Yes.
That she didn't do the role justice. That times that by 50.
But how many people do you have in your life who've got serious psychiatric disorders?
I've been dealing with a sibling.
Oh.
Schizoid affective disorder. Look it up. Before you call my wife crazy, please. You don't know. You actually have to experience it to actually believe it.
Schizoid? What?
Schizoid affective disorder.
Oi.
Thank God my family don't listen to whatever.
It's schizoaffective disorder.
Something like that.
Yeah, okay.
No, look, it's...
A chronic mental health condition characterized primarily by symptoms of schizophrenia such as hallucinations or delusions and symptoms of a mood disorder.
Yeah, she thinks she's the sun. She thinks she's God. It's
up. She thinks she's the sun.
Yeah. Is this something that has been bubbling under?
No, this is since 1985.
Oh, she's had this since 90. Okay.
Yeah.
Does she have...
I'm almost a qualified psychiatrist.
Can
psychologist.
She lead a life on her own independently? Like, can she live alone? Can she work?
No, the most common thing with psychiatric patients is that they don't comply with their medication.
Oh.
Aha. Uh-huh. Because when you're well, you don't think you need to take medication. Mm-hmm. So she goes off her medication. So when you go off your medication,
then it gets worse, and then there's
a setback. Every time you have an episode, you don't always recover fully. So it's hectic. That's why a large majority of homeless people, especially in first world countries like America, and that a large majority of them have psychiatric disorders.
Yeah. Wow. All right, let's go to some messages quickly. First of all, from Eddie. Eddie says,
Maybe I shared too much.
I have developed an STD hypochondriac syndrome. Every time I have sex, I think a girl has caught I caught syphilis or some STD. I'm a sexaholic and at the same time an STD hypochondriac. In this year, I've maybe tested myself every month. I should go and see a shrink.
No, lunatic.
That's actually quite a normal thing, hey?
Well, Eddie's not normal because then after that he says, I only listen to Gord. When Gord is off, I turn the app off. Well, then fuck off, all right?
Yeah, I don't have time to
look after you like this. I mean, what must I pander to your every need and desire? How much are you paying for your subscription? Fucking zero. Get off. Get off my fucking radio.
Very aggressive. Is he
apologize,
is
Eddie,
he wearing is Eddie, he wearing get, protection? Is he wearing protection?
I don't care, Eddie. Who cares about stupid Eddie's story? Can fuck off. All right. So, hey Gareth, I'm over Gord
luck,
now.
Eddie.
It feels like a boyfriend is trying to ghost me. Bye bye forever, Gord. You see, we have these different opinions. Oh, by the way, it is a sausage fest in the studio. I hear someone who says, great to hear Damon again. This is from Nilesh.
Nilesh.
Isn't that nice? Dam Bulelo, saying that you have no carbon footprint, but you use Uber is like going to the showers at gym to save water during a drought.
Ever thought of that, Mbulelo?
Look, it's all about sanctimony. You know, when you're telling people you're better than them, you don't really get into the nitty-gritty of what's really happening.
You're virtue
signaling. Like a social justice warriors, of course.
I have to tell you, this schizoaffective disorder is very scary.
Affective disorder.
Schizoaffective disorder.
No, it's hectic.
Many people with schizoaffective disorder are often incorrectly diagnosed at first with bipolar or schizophrenia.
Yeah, because you have both symptoms.
Because schizoactive disorder is less well studied than the other two conditions, many interventions are borrowed from their treatment approaches. Schizoaffective is relatively rare, with a lifetime prevalence only 0.3%. Men and women experience this at the same rate, but men often develop the illness at an earlier age.
Well, what's interesting is that when you witness your relative or having this illness, you think to yourself, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, what did they do with those people?
Straight jackets.
Yep.
And that's the thing. They would chain them.
Or electroshock therapy.
They would chain them up.
They used to do that electroshock therapy. They would wet them with water.
Yeah.
Throw them out into the sun and just leave them there for the day.
Now we just do that with Al-Qaeda prisoners.
Yeah, Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
So listen to these symptoms. This is quite scary. They have hallucinations, which are seeing or hearing things that aren't there.
Is this something you already said she has?
She's seen aliens.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And the sun, and I'm a psychiatrist. Okay. But it varies.
Delusions, which are false fixed beliefs that are held together regardless of contradictory evidence. But then that happens to a lot of people who propose that they're sane as well. Disorganized thinking. A person may switch very quickly from one topic to another or provide answers that are completely unrelated.
Nah. There you go.
Why are some of these ticking off a person we might know?
Who's that?
Depressed mood. If a person has been diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, depressive type, they will be experiencing feelings of sadness, emptiness, feelings of worthlessness, and other symptoms of depression.
No, she actually hasn't had that.
Oh.
And then manic behavior.
Actually, plenty of that.
If a person has been diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, bipolar type, they will experience feelings of euphoria, racing thoughts, increased risky behavior, and other symptoms of mania.
Now, the thing is, and then when these patients eventually get back onto their medication and they recover, they have zero memory of having been ill.
It's completely, they don't know what's happened.
They don't know what's happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the causes are unknown, but a combination of causes contribute to the development of this disorder.
Hmm.
One is genetics. Schizoaffective disorder runs in families. This does not mean that if a relative has the illness, you will get it. But it does mean there is a greater chance of you developing the illness. So we better watch you. Brain chemistry and structure. Brain function and structure may be different in ways that science is only beginning to understand. Brain scans are helping to advance in this area. Stress. Stressful events like a death in the family, end of a marriage, or loss of a job can trigger symptoms.
Or the start of university is very common. You finish school, you finish matric, and you go to university. That's the trigger. That's a very common trigger.
Huh.
Or you go overseas at a young age. You go away for a year to Europe, and then you have to be rescued by Hatzolah or God knows who.
Oh, my God. And then drug use is the last one. It may be related to the university thing. Psychoactive drugs such as LSD have been linked to the development of this disorder.
How's well, that? Speaking of drugs, I don't know if this is true.
Yeah.
They say that a large percentage of people with psychiatric disorders have dabbled with marijuana, dacha. I don't know how true
I've
that
heard,
is.
I've heard the same thing.
Don't know like, how true that
it
is.
Triggers, yeah. It triggers, yeah.
Yeah.
That cuckoo-ness.
Yeah, I had a friend. I had a friend. Her brother, he just had one hit of marijuana.
Finished.
Mm-hmm. Screwed for life.
Yes.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, it's scary.
Just one hit.
Maybe it wasn't correlated, or maybe it was.
If you are genetically predisposed,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes one thing like that.
That's what happens.
To trigger it.
That's why people are very. They joke too much about drug use, and it shouldn't be trifled with.
Look, I'm not calling for a kumbaya moment here, but I think the mere fact that we are all alive, breathing on our own, standing on two legs, this is
insane.
It's just enough to celebrate and be grateful for.
Yeah, but it all comes down to the big thing is stress. A lot of these psychiatric disorders are stress-induced.
Mm-hmm.
Stress-induced.
But it's not like I vividly remember an episode of The Oprah Show years ago. There was a...
Everything CNOs comes from The Oprah.
It is my foundation.
You never mention Oprah, hey?
No, never.
What is that O-P-R-A-H? Hey, okay. I think I've heard of her.
But this man who thought he was coping with stress at work.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that there was a tipping point one day. He didn't realize this was happening until it was too late. He was driving back home from work and he had to read a street sign and he realized he couldn't read anymore.
Oh.
And he started like panicking and he stopped on the side of the road. He had a full-on nervous breakdown. When psychologists and psychiatrists finally got to him, they diagnosed him with multiple personalities. So he ended up having like 20 odd people in his mind, and because of the breakdown he now had to live
and then they gave and then they gave Dr. Phil his own show
after
he recovered.
But you know, the reason why he couldn't read was because of one of those personalities that had come up front, which was like a 6-year-old or something.
But I must add a comment on that. Multiple personality disorder, as far as I know, I stand corrected, that's very, very rare. It's very unusual. It's not common at all. Multiple personality disorder, and it's not up to 20. If you do have it, it's maybe 2 or 3 or personalities. It's not like 20. But I stand corrected.
6-year-old as a personality.
I'm surprised the wife stayed with him because he was married, and now you have to deal with someone 24.
That's an interesting point, Hugo. I can't remember offhand. One would have to look it up in terms of your personalities having different ages. That would be interesting. One would have to look that up.
But then, Damon, when you have been dealing with someone like this since you said 1985,
1985.
Does it annoy you to now hear some people nowadays who are just like, "Oh, I'm depressed," and it's like, "No, you're just having a bad day."
No. That kind of thing will never annoy me. No.
Okay.
No. Why would it annoy me?
I've only in maybe the last 10 years started taking mental illness seriously at all. Because I used to be very dismissive of this stuff. I didn't understand it at all. I didn't have any empathy for it. And it's a very widespread problem. And you know, we talk about it often on the show because it's something that I think a lot of people are dealing with. And we do have an intolerant society in this country. I mean, most people in our parents' generation grew up with the idea that, you know, she must get over it or he must get over it.
Toughen up.
Well,
yeah, you're depressed, so make yourself happy, as if the two things are related.
But on the topic of what's annoying you, annoying me on the topic is, a couple of months ago, some kook was on Facebook saying that all medications are not necessary, everything is lifestyle, you don't need medications, you just lead a healthy life and eat healthily. And that irritated me because you can't be so dogmatic. Yeah. Yes, many illnesses are lifestyle related. High blood pressure, diabetes. But having said that, you will meet the fittest person on earth who runs Comrades Marathons, cycles, and still has high blood pressure because of genetics.
Look at what you've done. You've opened a can of worms on schizoaffective disorder this morning.
Wow.
I just got this message from Nick. He says, schizoaffective disorder is hectic. It's a melting pot of some of the worst psychiatric symptoms. A few of the most devastating cases of mental illness I've seen have been from patients with schizoaffective disorder. But yes, Damon is correct. Sometimes even just one hit of a drug can precipitate an underlying mental disorder. So that's interesting. That's from Dr. Nick.
Thank you, Dr. Nick.
Did you just give Nick that title?
No, or he really is sounds a doctor. Like, he sounds like he deals with patients, so I'm just assuming. Morning, guys. Have you heard about this podcast by a guy called Dion Wigget who exposes schoolboy rape at prominent all-boys schools? Yeah, that's a News 24 podcast.
Yeah, the guy just got arrested.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name.
Well,
somewhere near Mossel Bay, he was a teacher at was it St.
Willem Breitenbach?
Yeah, there we go, Willem Breitenbach. Well, what? It. From 1989 to 1994.
I got
allegedly he was.
Well, here is a doctor, Dr. Robin. She says Damon is correct. Multiple personality disorder is really very rare. Some psychiatrists don't even think it exists. How's that? 99% of the people on the show live outside of Glen Hazel and Sandringham. How do you expect them to know what Hetzola is?
Oh, good, very good point.
I thought
very
a radio veteran like yourself would have the quality of reliability and relatability in abundance. That's a bit of a criticism Pablo.
No, well taken. And I was just about to contextualize it. It's a paramedic service within the Jewish community. So I do apologize. Very good point.
Thank you very much, Pablo, for setting things correct.
Hi, really is good.
Hi, embarrassing.
Good point. Very good. Okay, all right. So we've got a lot to get to. We've got some headlines to talk about. We've got some news. I want to ask Damon his opinion on an issue we've had in the office that I think he might be able to help us resolve uniquely. But there's lots to talk about today. Let's get into those five things you need to know that are in the news. All right, start off with a story from Times Live this morning. This story has to deal with the death toll in the Eastern Cape. Why? Initiation season.
Oh, do we have to talk about this every year?
Every year this happens, and unnecessary deaths occur as a result of stupid practices with dangerous methodology. In the mountains, young men have their foreskins cut off with sharp rocks, blunt blades, rusty knives. It's just absolutely appalling that this barbaric bullshit should still be going on in the year 2019. And it's embarrassing for the people who are supposedly the traditional leaders that keep defending this behavior. It's embarrassing for them because if people keep dying as a result of what you say is a traditional practice and you keep trying to tell people it's safe, but there are constant deaths, you're obviously not doing it right.
I was having a conversation with Mbulelo here the other day. So he's Xhosa. Mm-hmm. From Eastern Cape?
As most Xhosa people are.
So I said to him, I mean, that's a common question. I said, dude, have you been up the mountain? Your response was?
No, it's ridiculous. My mom cut that nonsense off, which is why I think my parents...
What, the foreskin?
No.
I knew as soon as he used that term, cut, it was going somewhere.
Listen, as a fellow Jewish comrade, I'm sure this is a talking point for you as well, but listen... It's ridiculous. Damon, let's connect it to what Damon was saying. Imagine, I don't know if you know what trepanning is. So imagine if we dealt with your sibling with trepanning.
In that's the where they cut a hole in the skull and they would actually
they would let the demons out, right?
Oh, like
imagine
sneak
if
out.
Imagine if we take.
I've heard of that, but just refresh my memory. Is this a medieval practice or something that's? Oh, it's
medieval, but it used to. They still did this in like the 1940s.
That's how they did frontal lobotomies.
Yeah. Is this different to what they did to the Kennedy daughter?
Well, they would have. Was it Rose? They would have had to get to her brain, so they probably would have used trepanning. So what they do is they take it's a drill, but it's got a big serrated the size of a top of a tin.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got teeth around the sides.
Yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
So what they do is they cut the skin off the top of your head. Then they put this thing down and they turn with a like those old drills that had
So they didn't hammer.
No. You know those old drills that you'd push on the top and you'd turn the handle around and it would turn the drill bit.
Yeah.
You know those old drills. Yeah. And then this serrated cup would be at the bottom and that would chop through the bone. With its teeth, like a saw. But it was very fine little teeth so that you didn't actually go into the brain because you'd have to just get through the skull. Then they'd take that piece of the skull out, put it aside, and then they'd start to fiddle with the brain.
To let the demon sneak out.
Yeah, well, that was what a lot of people thought. But then they'd also, test the various... These were early neurological experiments too.
Crazy. Are we talking 1700s, 1800s? No,
this is quite recent. This was 1900s, beginning of the 1900s even.
Yeah, it came up towards, yeah.
No.
But back in the day, if we needed to, you had a headache or you'd imagine in the 15th century, I've got a headache or I don't feel well.
Take a chisel and chop open your head. And say, oh, there we go. That's better.
Yeah. Panning.
So anyway, how did this come up?
My point was that imagine if we were still doing that now. We are. And I'm closer and I'm proud. But it's mental that it's still happening today. I don't care what anybody says. Do not use words like tradition to argue for madness to continue.
And the same goes for these ultra-Orthodox moils, and there are a few of them left, a very few, but there's some of them who actually sort of rip the foreskin off.
But now you have to explain what a moil is. Don't make the same hard solid mistake.
Now you've got to explain. Gareth,
so what's a moil?
A moil is a Jewish circumcision guy.
Practitioner, yes.
Oh. Who tears it off?
Yeah, so yeah. 30, 40 years ago, in the Jewish community, I can only speak about South Africa, you would have guys that weren't necessarily rabbis, or they were moils, or they could have been rabbis who were moils. Mm-hmm. But as times have changed, you don't get specific moils really anymore. You get rabbis who do circumcisions, but they don't call themselves moils. They're just a rabbi who happens to do circumcisions.
Yeah, there are also all kinds of bullshit conspiracy theories around this too, so I don't want to go down that track. But I do think that it's very sad. Here's the story. The Eastern Cape chairperson of the House of Traditional Leaders, Nkosi Mwelo Nonkonyana, has called for the intensification of monitoring interventions, including more resources for police. Why should police have to be involved in this following the death of another 7 initiates?
7, hey? Yeah. So 7 have just died in this latest incident.
Well, listen to this. It's worse than just the circumcisions. A traditional nurse also died with his initiate when they were in a hut and it caught fire. So just unnecessarily dangerous and dumb things are happening to people. The death of these 7 has brought the number of initiates' deaths to 8 altogether just halfway through the summer circumcision season. A further 13 initiates were rescued in Mbizana and are housed in a rescue center in that municipality. It means 34 initiates have been rescued since the beginning of the season. Provincial Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs spokesperson Mankeli Ngam said,
"Tis the season to cut off penises. Stay away from the rusty knife. Don't go up that mountain.
Cut your penis. If they use a rusty blade, you'll get an infection
and lose your penis or life." Yeah, so that takes us to the other angle, Gareth. It's not just deaths that we're talking about. There's literally hundreds and hundreds of young men in South Africa that have lost their penises.
Yeah, and have had such damage done to their penises. This is something nobody talks about. That they are now unable to have successful intercourse derive any pleasure from sex. They get angry. We know all about this from Freud. What happens if you have a genitalia that are in some way not working properly? It can make a man extremely aggressive and violent and dangerous. And we don't know how many men are hurt either mentally or physically as a result of something that happened.
Just think about it. Your penis is your life. Think about it.
Oh, is it?
Think about it.
Okay.
Yeah. It is.
But look, my thing is, dude, it's like these people aren't forced to do this, are they? Well, so we can fight them, defend them, and all that crap.
They kind of are.
No.
Because they live in communities where this stuff is still massively important.
Mm.
So hold on.
It's a rite of passage, right?
I'm not making excuses for them. I think it's dumb.
It is dumb. So we must never reduce saying somebody's not forced. The greatest force today of forcing people to do it is something Noam Chomsky calls you manufacture the consent. So that people feel like they've got a choice, but actually you've given them a limited set of choices to choose from, which the social pressure means you're going.
But you didn't go.
No, because I wasn't in the social pressure. I wasn't living in a village in the Eastern Cape where there's serious ramifications to your self-worth within that network. For me, I lived in the city.
What did you call it? Manufactured consent.
He calls it manufacturing consent.
Would be like in Muslim countries where women will say, no, but I've chosen to wear the hijab, but it's because actually there isn't much, much opportunity for her to change her mind.
But it's almost, it's like a brainwash. It's like you get born into a way of thinking, into a society, and it's just normal.
All right, well, we've made it through one story.
Okay,
so
let's get through the rest.
No, it's fine. It's nice to milk things.
The Joburg Development Agency has rejected the findings made in the Department of Labor's report into the Grayston Bridge collapse. Remember that happened in 2015?
Oy vey.
In 2015, a temporary structure collapsed on the M1 highway near the Grayston off-ramp, killing 2 people and injuring 19. Do you remember?
I remember.
The department's report has been submitted to the JDA after 4 years of investigation.
4 years.
It has not been made public, but the agency has already disputed its findings. Susan Monyai from the JDA said the agency's referred the matter to its legal advisors for further consideration. There was apparently a public outcry after the bridge collapsed during busy traffic with families wanting answers. There's no indication as to when the report will be made public.
After four years.
And who's responsible? You know, that's all people want to know. From ENCA this morning, the UN is about to deliver food aid to Zimbabwe and fears a major crisis there. Zimbabwe again, a clusterfuck. The UN said it was procuring food assistance for 4.1 million Zimbabweans. That's a quarter of the population in a country where shortages are being exacerbated by runaway inflation and climate-induced drought. And let's not forget, extremely bad mismanagement and government by the worst and most incompetent people that you could possibly imagine in ZANU-PF.
Well, there was just a little article yesterday. They found the late Robert Mugabe in his bank account in Zimbabwe. They found, I think, the equivalent of $10 million, something like that.
And that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. Mm.
Yeah, because he's got stuff in Switzerland and who knows where. Yeah, but a colleague of mine,
and some properties as well.
One of my staff members in my lucrative business, perfume business,
yes,
she recently went to her sister's graduation in Harare, mm-hmm, and she says in the past you would go to a graduation, there'd be food, there'd be that. They gave them a bottle of water.
Chief.
Graduation ceremony, you schlep all the way from Johannesburg.
Wow.
A bottle of water, no food.
Shucks.
Hectic.
Well, I'm just waiting for the United Nations, which had no problem declaring, you know, all kinds of other things as crimes against humanity, including climate change and various much more modern things. I'm waiting for them to declare ZANU-PF a crime against humanity, as they well should.
No oil in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, well, it's the UN we're talking about. They're not really after oil.
Don't they get?
I think you're confusing UN and US.
Don't they get? Influenced?
How?
I don't know. It was a thought, okay?
Right. Very badly thought through thought. But can't think of,
hey, you can't get it always right.
So I'm sorry, but here's, you know, there's bad news about Zimbabwe, and it just doesn't look like it's ever going to come right. Apparently, the U.S. Navy has ordered $22 billion worth of submarines to keep up with China. The U.S. Navy on Monday awarded its most expensive shipbuilding contract ever. More than $22.2 billion worth of the world's most advanced submarines. The massive contract is for 9 nuclear-powered Virginia-class attack submarines. It comes just months after the head of the U.S. Navy in the Pacific warned of a massive Chinese naval buildup and his trouble in getting enough submarines to counter it.
So it's like you have X amount.
It's a power struggle.
It's an arms race.
Yeah.
So do you want to know what it's called? There's a term for it. The father of history, a guy called Thucydides, the first man to.
Thucydides. Yes.
So everybody thinks Herodotus is the father of history, but the first document is the Peloponnesian Wars, uh-huh, and his name is Thucydides, and you can look up the Thucydides trap, and I can explain that if we've got time, Gareth.
Thucydides.
That's what's happening between China and America.
So they're going to go in these submarines, but with all the plastic, you can spend billions and billions of dollars, but like,
you won't see anything.
You got to wade through the plastic.
$22 billion dollars. Then you can't see anything.
I mean, it's like,
What would Thucydides have to say about that?
Thucydides trap. So Thucydides trap, quick one. It is when an incumbent power feels it is being removed by a new power, and there's a cross point when the new power is taking over. That friction is where it's called Thucydides' trap. So that's what we've seen between China and America.
So this is also what happened when the British Empire started to go into decline, and what happened when the Spanish Empire went into decline, exactly. And Rome before that.
So who's declining now in that analogy?
The climbing power is China.
It's China.
But who's declining?
Oh, America. America's declining. Yeah. China is ascending.
Yes, but in the original story, it was the Greeks, Peloponnesian Wars. Look it up.
So it was the
Greeks in the spot.
And meantime, some humpback whale is some humpback whale is choking on a checkers bag. Right. Hey,
here's just a point on Zimbabwe before we move on from Elson, who we know is much more informed about these things than anyone else. Speaking of Zimbabwe, did you hear they will be launching a wait for it? Space satellite, yep.
Zimbabwe. Oh,
really?
Zimbabwe has set aside funds to launch its first space satellite.
Oh, like, wow. Feed people. Yeah, what are you launching?
Yeah, but you know what? The word space is very relative. Maybe they don't really mean the solar system, so to speak. Could just be they're going to shoot it up and it's going to go into a space. Like, maybe it'll get to a bit of a cumulonimbus cloud, maybe. So it's like it's Earth space. You know what I mean? Space. It's all relative.
Zandi says
it's relative.
Zandi says, gents, I think you're missing the point about traditional circumcision. It's clear you don't know anything about it. That's from Zandi.
Oh, that's very.
I love when people say, "Oh, you guys are wrong because you're ignorant and you don't know anything about it," but then they don't go on to tell you something about
it. Yes, Zandi.
In other words, they think you know less than them, but they're not prepared to point out what they know that you don't, so that you can learn. In other words, Zandi, it sounds to me like you've got a mouthful of teeth and brain full of
nothing. No, but maybe Zandi's driving, in all fairness. No. And it's difficult
Zandi,
to...
Send us something, Zandi.
Send us a voice note. Come. It's not going to kill you.
I have two people in my family.
I'll tell you what will kill you, a traditional circumcision.
or you'll lose your penis.
I have two people in my family who are actually seen as sages within the Xhosa community. So
sages?
Well, I'm westernizing the term, but essentially elders who are seen,
yeah.
And they conduct the practice. So trust me when I say I know.
But they know what they're doing.
Oh well, Diamond, that's a.
Is that why you?
What does it mean? You know what you're doing when you're carrying on madness.
What I mean is when you mention your two relatives that are sages, doesn't mean that all of them use Rusty. Now some of them could be.
Have they killed anyone?
Heck, are they? They could be decent. They could be. Like quite competent.
Listen, so a lot of the stories we get are spurious because you very little information from these situations gets out other than the people are dead, because it's very, very, very,
like,
very secret.
Like things that happen on the mountain shouldn't even be discussed,
they don't take,
right?
They don't take an investigative journalist with them.
They certainly do not. Which is why it's difficult to discuss within a Western context, because you've got to speak to people directly. They don't just go. We're having a press conference about this week. 15 inductees have come through. That's not how it works.
All right. In other news, this is quite interesting. Google's founders, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, right? They're the co-founders of Google. They've announced that they're stepping down from running the online giant's parent company, Alphabet. Wow. The pair will leave their respective roles at Alphabet as the CEO and president, but will remain on the board. Google's CEO, Sundar Pichai, will become Alphabet's CEO too. Sundar Pichai, yeah. Alphabet was created in 2015 as part of a corporate restructuring of Google, which Mr. Page and Mr. Brin famously founded in a California garage back in 1998.
So wouldn't it be interesting to know the real story, like what's actually happened there, like why are they stepping down?
And both of them at the same time.
Yeah, it's I smell, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, they both probably want to move on to do some new things. You know, there are two things that are happening here. First of all, the people who do create a startup are not always the best people to run it once it's no longer a startup.
Okay, like the ANC. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, that's a bad example, but it's an example. The other thing is that both of these guys are, they're big thinkers, they're pioneers. They get turned on not by creating a billion-dollar company, but by coming up with new things. So I know that Sergey Brin was very interested in developing the Google Glass thing, which never really took off, and he put his heart and soul into that, and when it collapsed, he was pretty miserable about it because it didn't really take off.
What was that glass supposed to do again? Just remind me.
It was meant to be a wearable interface with the internet. You could almost read things on your glass.
Yeah, but
like
then you walk
up,
in, but then
like
you walk into a, but then you walk into a pole while you're doing
well,
this.
Well, it's glass. It's glass, Dan. It's like holding up a piece of blackboard in front of you.
No, but you still get distracted.
You would. I don't think Google Glasses are a good thing for you. But I think some people can handle it.
Well, obviously, no, I don't think so. But anyway.
Anyway.
That's so why it didn't work.
So that's the one thing. But they say that they would remain actively involved as board members, shareholders, and co-founders, but that it was a natural time to simplify our management structure. They're also letting people who probably are more up to date get in there. You know, these guys are billionaires. They're probably living a really great life. If they're interested in developing new things, they can, and they don't want to be focused on the old stuff. Imagine if you've got, what, $40, $50 billion in the bank, and you have to go to a management meeting and listen to people talk about balance sheets. And I mean, they're just bored. It's probably enough. They don't need to make any more money.
As long as they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've built Google.
Anyway, so that's them. They know what they're doing.
Right place, right
time. Right, exactly.
Don't.
Those are the five things you need to know this morning.
Took a while.
Are you happy with that?
No. What about poor Jimmy Carter?
What about poor Jimmy Carter? You want to know about him?
He's in hospital yet again.
This time,
urinary tract infection.
That's so embarrassing. He's so old. Imagine how dirty and filthy his urinary tract is. Here he is.
Former President Jimmy Carter is back in a Georgia hospital this morning. The 95-year-old is being treated for a urinary tract infection. Spokesperson says Carter is feeling better and looks forward to returning home soon. It is just the latest in a series of health challenges for the former president. Just last Wednesday, he was released from the hospital after surgery to relieve pressure on his brain. And in October, he received 14 stitches after hitting his head in a fall.
And he broke his hip a year ago. Or 10 months ago.
That was from USA Today and Damon Calvari.
And lest we forget, when he fell and needed those stitches, he ended up looking like a homeless guy. But he came back, I was going to say stronger than ever, then realized that's a lie. And he took charge of his church, his local church, where he gave this rousing sermon on death. He freaked all the kids out.
Does he say, "I welcome death"? I'm trying to avoid death.
Yeah, you know when an old person starts speaking about death, it's just not a comfortable topic. And he was particularly looking after the Sunday school that week, so talking to kids about death is not the most comfortable thing. And he's 95 years old.
I think when you're 95, you're going to be thinking about death. Hey?
But I've mentioned this as well with my grandmother. But she uses it now to manipulate us.
How old is she now?
She is 83.
So what is, like, give an example.
She wants me to become a reverend like my father. So well, she says, you know, one of
I
the
I just want to point out that Jimmy Carter has been pissing.
Is still peeing.
Almost a solid 2 minutes.
Well, this is great progress, though. The UTI, it's usually because, all clogged up there. Yeah, no, that's great progress for him.
Yeah, look, it's that prostate gland. It squeezes onto the urethra. I mean, it can start, even from the age of 40, you can have problems.
Yeah, but I've mentioned this on the show before. So she will guilt trip us. She says things like, you know, it would really mean a lot for me to see you standing up there in a pulpit before I die. I'm like, just calm down. You're 83. She's still lively. She's fine. She's just guilt tripping.
We've got some serious feedback here from Babaz.
Babaz,
he says, Bulelo, you have no idea what you're talking about. You have not been there, so shut your Olaniguala voice.
Sure. Yes, yes.
Jesus.
Ah, ye rest in peace.
That's a compliment. I love Olan.
Carl says, I like this new guy. He is really knowledgeable, and so far I like his views. He can stay, Carl.
Well, not putting any words into Babazi and the other person's mouths on this, but I think it also speaks to part of the scenario and the...
Just
I wouldn't call
words,
it the problem around... going up to the mountain and circumcision, because the Xhosa culture, I know it is revered so much. It's not just the act of circumcision, but it's being a man. It's how you are regarded in the community.
It's ritual.
So the mere fact that you haven't been up there in Bulele, you are all immediately discounted and discredited.
Yeah,
and
you're not a man.
I wonder how then you deal with family dynamics.
Look.
Like it's Christmas now and you go, you know, you around family for Christmas. Do you sit with all of the men? Do they count you as a man? Are you know?
Do you even go back home now these days, now that you have these opinions?
So you know, the problem with when people say, oh, you have no idea because you haven't been, is you then, it becomes reductionist thinking. Like, being Xhosa is only about going to the mountain. Being a Xhosa man is an entire spectrum. And the sort of reductionist kind of argument of, if you're not that, thus you're not.
It's like I don't people even who say, involved. Well, if you haven't died, how can you speak about death?
You know, I don't get involved.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid. Exactly.
Or if you haven't taken drugs, how can you tell other people they're bad?
Yeah.
Or if you haven't drunk dirty water filled with bilharzia and foot rot, that you should try it at least once before you could say anything about it.
Exactly. Stupid. Exactly. So see, being Xhosa, there's so much idiosyncrasy, and it always gets reduced to this because this one makes the news. But there's an idiosyncrasy to being Xhosa far beyond just this one tiny little part of being Xhosa. And when you argue with this, because it becomes inflamed, everybody reduces being Xhosa to this. I'm far more than just a guy who hasn't been to a mountain. I'm still a Xhosa dude.
Can I ask a Xhosa Eastern Cape question? So when the Springboks won the World Cup recently, there was one of the sad stories was how big rugby is in the Eastern Cape and how black people love rugby. Can you confirm or deny? Is that true? Because I'm sure there is a sector that enjoys rugby, but I can't imagine every single black person in the Eastern Cape being all following rugby. Am I wrong?
Well, this is a great question for Mbulelo because he likes sport and he's actually going to give us some sport in a minute. But
and
go
he's
ahead.
The king of all
Xhosas
now.
Answer this. Yeah. I mean, is that just a false narrative that was mostly put together by, who's that guy? Watson. Cheeky Watson.
Firstly, I want to say Cheeky Watson. Does none of the Watsons represent the Eastern Cape or Xhosa community. We've written them off, right? So let's be very clear. But look, with just to say, not all black people are Xhosa. I know that's starting to become a thing.
I meant the Xhosa community in the Eastern Cape.
No, but with Sia Kolisi, everybody tends to think everyone's... Okay. But anyway, my point is, in the Xhosa community in particular, Xhosa people are a break off. You know, some people call them the Jewish people of the black world because there's a bit of a chip on Xhosa people's shoulders. But they do love rugby.
We don't have chips.
No, well... Xhosa people... No. But Xhosa people do love rugby as opposed to most other black tribes in this country. There's a massive rugby culture within Xhosa, even in apartheid.
So it's true.
It is very
because
true.
Because I read all those articles and I thought, this is spin, this is publicity, this is PR. So it's true.
All right, let's get some sport in while we're talking about this. Go on. What do you got, Preston Bourne?
What did Siya Kolisi do this week?
That's not in the sport. That's in his private life. I don't think he's playing this week. All right, what do we got?
All right, we're going to talk a little bit about... yesterday, of course, we said Leo Messi's won his sixth Ballon d'Or.
And so he was injured. He even did it well when he had some injuries during the year. How's that?
Sportsmen do get injured.
Yeah, but he still won the best. I mean, that's pretty good.
It's not too bad. It's for the sixth time. So a lot of Liverpool fans, including a man who shall now known be who will be known now as the Meshuggah, Greg at the office, is very upset that Virgil van Dijk didn't win from Liverpool. But he's not the only person who Virgil van Dijk has upset. Cristiano Ronaldo's sister went off on Virgil van Dijk after he made a comment about her brother. So you can go and check that out. But she's saying you've never won anything in England.
No, but hold on. What did Virgil say about Cristiano Ronaldo?
So they were asking Virgil, what do you think about Cristiano Ronaldo sort of not coming to attend and sort of not being here? And Virgil said, why is he even a contender? And that set off Ronaldo's sister, and it's now blown up, and it's just been fantastic how they've been responding to that.
So there's a bit of a fight going on.
Oh, no, it's gotten ugly. Ronaldo's sister, you can go check it out on Instagram. She has gone ballistic. Absolutely. You've never won anything. My brother won when he was 23. He was the World Player of the Year. You have no titles in England.
That's a good sister to stand up for you like that.
Doesn't she also play? She's also a good footballer, eh?
No, she runs all his hotels in Madeira.
Oh, no, because somebody else's sister then who was very good. Okay, sorry.
I'm glad you've done your research.
I got my sisters mixed up. Carry on.
All right, so that's a big fight going on, but you're having an argument with Greg in the office because he's a Van Dijk supporter.
So he says Virgil should have won. Now, to all you Liverpool fans...
Because he's a Liverpool supporter.
That's exactly what it is. They're part of that cult, and it's disgusting. They haven't won the league in 30 years. They need something. But I pointed out to Greg, listen, Greg, this guy scored over 51 goals for club and country over the last year. let's not normalize that, please. We haven't seen it before. And just because he's done it a couple of times, Leo Messi, I said it yesterday, while he's playing and he's fit, let's cancel the award ceremony, Damon. Let's take all the money, give it to charity, give it to people who need it, because it's not a contest. He is out of this world. Virgil van Dijk isn't in the same universe of deserving the title. So please, to all you Liverpool mashuganas.
Yeah, all right, but Liverpool's also top of the table at the moment, so that should be enough for you.
Just from an historical context, would you put Messi in the same category as Pelé, Maradona?
Damon, none of those should be spoken near Messi's name.
Oh. Messi's better than Pelé and Maradona.
Greatest. He's the greatest, and it's not close. It is not. Who would you say is better looking, me or Idris Elba? It's not close, right? Idris Elba by a mile. It's that kind of thing. It's not a contest, Damon. It's over.
Are you being objective? Are you being well balanced?
I hate Barcelona. I hate Barcelona. Right. I hate Barcelona.
What, the city? Yeah. Oh, the club, hey? Okay.
But that's the sports for today. I just wanted to set that straight.
All right. Very good. We've got an argument going on.
Wow.
When we come back, I've got a situation that we need Damon's help in with regard to the office and something that's going
on here.
I'll
be like King Solomon, eh?
Right. We've got an Epstein update. Yeah, like King Solomon.
Yeah, get me my sword.
We'll talk about Kamala Harris dropping out of the 2020 presidential race, and she's blaming a lack of finances, but I'm blaming a complete lack of personality. And then we'll talk a little bit about Jeremy Corbyn in the UK, and there's plenty of other good stuff to get to too. So you can call us or message us on 0797482090, cliffcentral.com. It is, Wednesday morning?
What song are you jamming now?
I don't know. What do you feel like?
Run by the B-52s.
Wait, hold on. It's raining. like something to do with this weather that we
Give
have
me a
over
song.
Here.
Yeah, comes the rain again by the Eurythmics.
Okay. It's actually not a bad song.
Yeah. Wasn't that...
Here comes the rain again.
No,
spoil. Oh, I'm thinking of here comes the sun. Oh, it's here comes the sun. Never mind, I'm in the corner.
Which was George Harrison.
I'm quiet.
Okay. All right.
That's fine. You were close.
Here it is, the Eurythmics.
It was climatic
here
themes.
Comes the rain again. All right, nice one, Damon, here. Not completely useless.
Cliffcentral.com